Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Quick rundown of some findings I've had over at Grinding the Mocks. So I've been looking quite a bit, and I actually wrote a Football Guys article, so this will be a little bit of a kind of a summary of it. If you want to look at the whole thing, I sort of laid out some stuff there. It's a little bit different audience, so I can sort of run this down a little bit more specifically with you guys. And it's more dynasty focused here. So it's no shock really that the Jets or that the Jaguars, the Jets, and the 49ers are going to go 1-2-3 at quarterback. I think that's a 95%+ certainty at this point. I think the draft starts at 4, and you know what. Really, where you go from there? I think the Atlanta decision is something that, you know, we might have to like think about broader picture. And so that's one thing for sure, that as we sort of sit here and think about drafts and think about putting a team together, I think the Atlanta situation is a really interesting one. I might do a specific, you know, piece just on this, but that's a draft the best player available. they were negative 18 in scoring margin last year, and so that's 7-9 type territory. They're 4-12, so they were three bad luck losses. Again, you take that and then you run some more play action, get a little bit more efficient on defense, and all of a sudden you're 9-7 and you're like, hey, look, their coach improved by 5 games. It's like, well, they were unlucky by 3 games and they won an extra couple games this year. Yeah, like that's really in reality what it is. They're 9-8, I guess, now. Those stories can definitely happen. And so I don't think that they're going to be that anywhere near the top 4 in the draft again. Like, they're just too good, right? They have a good quarterback. Over the past 4 years, basically, I looked at like kind of the Goff timelines. I was trying to compare the two of them. When you look at the last 10 years, or the last 4 years, post-Super Bowl, right? So if you think about them post-Super Bowl, Matt Ryan's been a top 10 quarterback in expected points added and completion percentage over expectation. It's basically the composite score. He's top 10 quarterback. So, there's some good names up there, and he's one of them. If I were to nitpick on Matt Ryan, and this is sort of why I would do what I'm going to say I'm going to do. If I were going to nitpick, it's that he's had his worst 2 years in yards per attempt in the past decade. It's a 7.3 yards per attempt the past 2 years. And when you look at that, he hadn't done that since like 2010. That's troubling. Again, is that the end all be all? No. Can there be variance? Yes. Is that something that we're sure is going to be the case from now on? I'm not. But I think when you sort of look at that, you sort of find yourself in a catch-22. You know, the other thing I think with them is really interesting is, so they basically extended Matt Ryan, and they basically stretched out his cap over the next couple of years to sort of balance it this year. And in doing so, they committed a huge amount of dead cap money next year, like $40 million. Again, they could save like 8. Like, his cap number is like $48 million next year. It's outrageous. They could cut him and save $8 million against the cap, but it's a $40 million cap hit. It's a huge amount of the cap. So the benefit of having a rookie quarterback a lot of times is, hey, you can sneak a lot more talent underneath the cap when you have an elite quarterback on a rookie deal. This is basically the exact opposite of that. It's a, hey, you got a rookie quarterback and he's got to make up for the sins of the past, right? We're handing the kid the keys to the estate that is underwater in debt. That's kind of the situation that they'd be coming into. Whereas like the Josh Allen, some of these other teams, Buffalo actually did it right. Like, hey, we're gonna take our medicine. And this is what Atlanta probably should have done if they were gonna move on from Matt Ryan. That's why I sort of don't think they're going to. Or they've acted improperly if they have. Just take your medicine. Like, take the pain. Just, you're on the first year, like, just eat it. and you're going to take a ton of dead cap. And you're going to be in trouble. You know, the Rams have done some of this. Like, just eat the cap. Like, just cut Gurley. Like, you made a bad move. Like, move on and just deal with it. And that's an interesting way to go about it. They have chosen not to do that. Detroit, similarly, has chosen not to do that with Jared Goff. And that's another team I'll talk about. So I think you look at those situations and you're like, all right, like in 2 year windows, and you can sort of lump Atlanta and Detroit in together. They're both kind of in on quarterback. The fascinating thing about it is that the market is so different on their need. And Jared Goff is, I don't think by any measure, better than Matt Ryan. And that's not a knock on Jared Goff. Like, Matt Ryan's really good. Yet about 50% of mocks say Atlanta's going to take a quarterback, and a significantly lower margin say that, it's 6.25% say Detroit is, which I think is really interesting. When you sort of look, hey, both guys are in a two-year window. That's why I think the dynasty community is very, very wrong on Goff ultimately, because you sort of look at the NFL market. There's a lot of information there that is way contrary to what the dynasty market believes on Jared Goff. So this is just another example of why. So I do think ultimately, if I'm Atlanta, I take a quarterback, I think, if I like him, right? I don't force the issue. But if there's a top two or three quarterback on my board and I feel like he can be a franchise quarterback, I think you got to take him. Just because it's too valuable not to, and the price that you have to pay to do it, it's so high. You know, just think about what San Francisco had to pay to move. Like, if Atlanta, I think in a worst case scenario, should be like what San Francisco was last year. Like, they're gonna have to pay three firsts to move up from that to get to a top. And who's to even say that a pick at three is gonna get you a quarterback in a future year? So, you know, if you like the guy at all, like, you almost got to do it. And that's what the interesting thing about some of these teams that have sort of backloaded some of their picks. I think Detroit's been really savvy in doing that. Like, hey, we'll take a bunch of shots at future picks, because hey, if Jared Goff doesn't work out, like, we think we got a shot with him. If Jared Goff doesn't work out, we got options down the road. Right? And we can sort of look at this. I might do a dynasty piece on this, like 10 things we learned from the 2020 NFL offseason about dynasty strategy. Like, I think that would be a really interesting thing. And I think a lot of the stuff is that. But I think if you're Atlanta and you think you have a quarterback that's got a shot at being a franchise quarterback, I think you got to take him. Just because the payoffs, it's so important to hit up there, and the cost is so high. Plus, you get a chance to sit him. Like, you don't have to, you're not going to have to rush him. And even if it takes 18, 24 months, like, hey, maybe Matt Ryan plays really well and is a trade candidate, you know, like, and then a team can maybe extend him and figure out, like, the cap, like, you know, like, all that stuff can be figured out down the line. So, that's the thing with Ryan. Like, I could sort of go either way. What I think is certain with Ryan, and this is what I think really the boils it down to for us, is what I think is certain is that he's a starter for the next couple of years. And when you sort of look at that, like, okay, like, that's something we can sort of bank on. So I think it's really unlikely that he's somehow not. And he's going basically second round equivalency. So he's going Matt Ryan in 411 for 203, Matt Ryan for Darrington Evans in 111. Matt Ryan for 201. Like, those are the representative trades I've seen with him over the past couple of weeks. I mean, that's pretty lucrative. And especially if you're contending, like, yeah, let's do this. Because I think Matt Ryan absolutely has, like, top eight upside in him this year. And top five wouldn't shock me at all. So that's a thing there. Dalton, obviously, with Chicago, they're only a 14.5% chance to be a 14.5% of mocks mock a quarterback there. So that's one thing that I say, like, I just think they have a hard time to get there from 20. Again, if you're Atlanta, you're looking at this, how hard is it going to be from Chicago to get to 20, from 20 to a quarterback in a really good class? It's going to be damn expensive. It's almost to the point where you can't sit there and and take a pick if you're Atlanta. Like, you have to move off the pick if you're not going to take a quarterback. The Broncos, similarly situated. I mean, they're a good team otherwise, and this is sort of the situation you get in. Honestly, not that different from Matt Ryan. And talk about, like, two absolutely diametrically opposed situations. Here's a good quarterback that's undervalued versus a bad quarterback that's overvalued, right? Like, give me the good quarterback that's undervalued. Drew Lock for 203. Drew Lock for 22 seconds. These are all super flex trades. And Drew Lock for a 2022 first. Give me the picks. Absolutely give me the picks. And 203 seems a little late. Like, seems like you get a little bit more, but still give me the pick, right? Because I, especially this week, like, let's smash that. So that's one I'm absolutely doing. We talked about Detroit a little bit too. Jared Goff, 112. Jalen Hurts for Jared Goff in 108. Like, that is a, that's the type of trade that you can just look back on in, like, in 4 years and just be like, I absolutely lost my, like, this type of trade basically is Jalen Hurts good? And we don't have a ton of evidence to say that yet, but if the answer to that question is no, this is a mercy killing, right? Like, you just absolutely put this person out of their misery by taking the Goff and the pick side. Like, that has the ability to go horrible. Especially because Goff can perform at a baseline level. Like, for Hurts to be, like, substantially better than Goff, like, isn't an easy feat. So, and I know that I'm a Goff truther. 40% on the Patriots. I know Bill Simmons thinks they're going to trade up for Justin Fields, which would be interesting to watch. I'd be watching them on draft night for sure. Washington's another team that's sort of in that situation. This is, if you're Atlanta, all you need to do is look at Chicago. You need to look at the Patriots, and you need to look at Washington. And be like, do we want to be like that in a couple years? Like, can Matt Ryan and whatever piece we take get us over the hump? Or in a couple years, are we going to look a lot like the Bears? Are we going to look a lot like the Washington football team or the Patriots, right? Like, that's basically the thing that you have to think. Now, if you think that Kyle Pitts is so generational, right, we just keep coming back to this. Like, I don't know. Like, there's not a ton of easy answers there. So I think that they're almost, like, they got to address the position this day. Maybe there's someone on day two. I think that whole thing's a myth, but we'll see. But that's something I'm definitely thinking about quite a bit here. So definitely making moves on these quarterbacks. I am buying Goff at the cost. I am selling Lock at the cost, and I am buying Matt Ryan. So those would be my suggestions. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. I'll have some more Grinding the Mock stuff coming out this week. I think it's important to sort of prep this and get out in front of the draft before it gets sort of right on us. And so that way we can sort of have flexibility, have picks, and have optionality and going forward. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Till next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.